Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Chest of about $3.5 million.
Mark Martin is strapping into his stroller.
Based on what we had going on, I had enough money to do it for 2 years.
Mark Martin from Beachville.
Bill France Jr. gave me and Mark Martin an application to the 1988 Daytona 500.
And not enough can be said for these guys that built this team from the ground up in 2 years.
But if I didn't win a race, if I didn't show a blue sky to potential sponsors that wanted to get on board, there was an end in sight to my NASCAR career.
The Motor Racing Network presents The Many Hats of Jack Roush.
Mark Martin drives up high out of turn number four, comes out of the corner, and every person in this grandstand is cheering him on. He comes down, and he will win the AC Delco 500. It has been a long, hard road for Mark Martin.
I had butted heads with Jack Roush, but I butted heads with Jack a lot early in the years. But we made it, and we did it together.
Jeff Burton wins at Daytona. He takes the 42nd Pepsi 400.
Everything that I do in my racing and when my son's racing and stuff, I always, one of the decisions I'm making always go through my mind, what would Jack do?
Carl Edwards is a first-time winner in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
They did not hold one thing back from me. We gave it the best effort, and I think that's very noble, and I'm honored to be associated with him.
From the Motor Racing Network Studios in Concord, North Carolina, here is your host, Woody Kane.
Welcome to MRN Presents The Many Hats of Jack Roush. I'm Woody Kane. In this 10-week journey, we'll discuss the life and career of Jack Roush, who will be inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame in January, an honor that's based on a career that continues today in the NASCAR Cup Series and NASCAR Xfinity Series with Roush Fenway Racing. Jack Roush's ability to seek out unproven talent for his NASCAR teams was uncanny.
To the stripe, checkered flag in the air, Carl Edwards wins here at Gateway International.
Consider that Roush has only hired one driver in his career to drive his race cars who had a previous cup win.
At the line, Jamie McMurray by inches wins it.
And that was Jamie McMurray. Every driver who sat in Roush's cars was hungry to succeed.
Greg Biffle has clinched the championship for the 2002 NASCAR Busch Series season.
At least that was his thought process. If Roush hires a driver that wants to prove himself, he'll drive harder, right?
Mark Martin drives up high out of turn number four, comes out of the corner, and every person in this grandstand is cheering him on. He comes down, and he will win the AC Delco 500. It has been a long, hard road for Mark Martin.
As mentioned in prior episodes, Roush formed his team in 1988. At the time, he attempted to make the move towards signing bigger names for his new NASCAR venture.
Well, the first guy I went to was Gary Nelson. I don't know how I found him, but Leonard Wood may have recommended I talk to Gary, but I talked to Gary Nelson, and he says, well, talk to Bobby Allison if you're looking for a driver. He'd be the best driver that's out there. He could help you build a team. And I talked to Bobby, and Bobby was with the Stavola brothers from up north, and he was near the end of his career, and said he didn't want to make a change. At least my suspicion was he didn't want to go with an unknown, another road racer or drag racer that was trying to break into NASCAR. And so I asked him who he thought should drive the car, and he says, well, Mark Martin is capable, and he's out there, and he's been there, and he's seen some. And he says, I think if you put him in good stuff, he could do the job.
When Roush signed Mark Martin, the Batesville, Arkansas native had exactly 57 Cup starts, 4 top fives, and no wins. Roush was taking a chance on a former ASA standout that he believed could carry the banner for Roush Racing moving forward.
But not enough can be said for these guys that built this team from the ground up in 2 years. And there's going to be more of these things coming. No way better to start the year off for Folgers and Valvoline and all the guys. And I can't wait to go to Rockingham now.
In 1992, Roush decided it was time to move to two cars in the Cup Series, and he hired Wally Dallenbach Jr., who previously had 11 starts in the Cup Series the year before, for Junie Donlevy. The duo never found victory lane in the 2 years they were together. In 94, he hired Ted Musgrave to drive the car, and they lasted 3 seasons together, never earning a win. In 1996, Roush was making the move to three cars in the Cup Series. He was going to hire his next winner, and he was from South Boston, Virginia, also with Little Cup experience. His name was Jeff Burton.
You know, life has funny turns about it, and my racing career, the early part of my racing career is, it could write a novel about, and all the twists and turns and interesting things that happened, and this was certainly one of them. Actually, the first phone call was made to Ward about, you know, would he consider driving for Jack with this new team being formed. And Ward was happy where he was and had decided he was going to stay loyal to Bill Davis and the things that were going on there and the manufacturer that was there. And so Ward and I had this casual conversation, you know, about this guy, you know, this guy named Jeff Smith had given him a call from Roush, and they were thinking about starting a team, was curious about talking to him, and he wasn't interested because he was doing what he was doing. And I said, well, hell, give me this Jeff Smith's phone number. So I called Jeff and I said, hey, Ward told me, and he says, well, yeah, let's talk. So a few days later, I was in Livonia, Michigan, and meeting with Jack.
Jeff Burton wins at Daytona. He takes the 42nd Pepsi 400 by just a couple of feet over Dale Jarrett.
I regret we didn't win championships.
Now he's going to go to victory lane for the third time in 97 before the hometown fans. Jeff Burton wins the Haynes 500 at Martinsville.
But I don't regret being there because I learned more about me as a person, me as a race car driver, me as a person that was trying to set up his own race cars and help build his own race cars at the Cup level. Jack allowed me to do that. It was hard working for Jack, but it was gratifying.
Jeff was right. Roush sought talent that had the ability to work on their own race cars and had knowledge on the mechanics involved with high-powered machines.
It had to be somebody that worked building their own cars. Somebody that had worked in the garage to put together the pieces with family members or with friends, to be able to make an entry into a Xfinity car, into a ARCA car, to get started, and so I thought that was important to start with. If a driver's got an education that offsets, he didn't waste his time going to glamour school or practicing for the theater. If he's going in welding or fabrication or engine building, or he's done something with an engineering bent, it certainly makes him attractive. So it's a combination of things. You know, the marketing folks, the business side of the people, business people side of the team, they want a driver to be commercially attractive to sponsors, and good with public relations and good at speaking publicly and good on his feet, saying not what's on his mind when it goes bad, but what's ready for prime time. So that's important. And of course, the driver that's able to interact with his crew chief and provide information that's meaningful, that they can use to establish a direction, is very interesting. You know, we've gone from a point of having a driver, when, like Mark would say, or Jeff Burton would say, I need a 50 pounds more lift or a spring, or I need an eighth inch smaller front bar. Just tell us, pointed ears, we're listening here on the sidelines. Tell us what the car's doing and where you think the speed is in the car, and we'll see if we can find that for you.
In 1999, Jack leaned on his veteran driver to help land his next unproven talent, and eventually his first champion.
Jack knew what he wanted to do, and he convinced me of what he wanted to do and why. He always had reasons for what he did. So really the only one I demanded, Matt Kenseth, when we didn't have a place for him.
Matt Kenseth adds another one to the list, winning here today at Phoenix International Raceway.
And I'm proud of that because Matt delivered them their first championship, and Jack deserved it. And Roush Racing deserved it, and Matt did that. Something that I never could do. So that was cool.
Matt Kenseth, the new Winston Cup champion.
Yeah, I met him in Dover in 1997. I guess I was driving for Robbie and John Reiser and the family there, and met Mark Martin. And he recommended to Jack they hire me. They didn't know really for what. They didn't have a spot for me at the time. And so I remember talking to him on the phone, and he told me to come and find him in Dover and talk to him. He said he'd be easy to find. He'd be the guy wearing the straw hat or the funny hat. I shouldn't say funny hat. He'd be the guy wearing a hat. So I went and met him there up in the front of, the 99 hauler, and that was the first time I met him.
Matt Kenseth is going to win the Daytona 500.
You know, when I signed there, it was really just to hang out, and I'd go bother Jimmy Fanning and hang out at Mark's tests. I didn't get to drive much of the tests, but got to drive a little bit, a couple of them, and just kind of hang out and learn and kind of start getting in the system.
Roush also began seeking out the next great talent through a process dubbed the Gong Show.
It was brainchild of Jeff Smith and Max Jones. We'd organized tests for drivers. We had a test for road race drivers before we started NASCAR. We had a test. We had two or three different tests, different years, on three different occasions, I believe, to find drivers for our road race cars, where you'd have basically drivers that had experience in motorcycle racing or sports car open wheel racing in amateur sports and amateur sports car racing. And you'd want to sort among these drivers for somebody that would fill a opening or two that you had in your professional series cars. And so we'd had these gong shows. We called them gong shows. We had them on these numerous occasions. And Jeff Smith had the idea, says, you know, if we parlayed this right and we orchestrated it correctly, we could sell it to sponsors, and instead of having to pay for all the tires and track rental and all that, maybe we could even work out breaking even on it or make a dime. And so Jeff Smith and Max Jones put together this Driver X thing in order to satisfy our goal of vetting drivers that we thought were talented.
Roush Racing brought in drivers from all over the country to evaluate them in an elimination-style contest, and the winner would eventually drive in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series or the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Not only were they tested on driving ability, but also public relations talent and personality traits.
Kurt Busch come out of that.
And fifth is Kurt Busch, and he is the NASCAR Nextel Cup Series champion.
He was head and shoulders above the other five or six drivers we had at that time.
In 2000, Kurt Busch was signed to a Truck Series contract for Roush Racing after dominating the Gong Show. And that same season, Kurt earned four wins and finished second in the standings.
Kurt Busch is going to win the Old Dominion 500.
David Reagan was another Gong Show driver, which by this time was on the television network The Discovery Channel in a show called Driver X. Reagan didn't win it, but it did lead to a ride with Roush Racing.
I was a young kid trying to find my way to NASCAR, and I was 16, 17 years old. Well, I wanted to go do the Gong Show. Jack was having his Driver X Gong Show. He had it in 2003 and 2004. In 2003, I was still a little on the young side, didn't have much experience. And so in 2004, I sent in a resume, and I got Robert Yates to agree to list as a reference. And I sent Robert a copy, and I said, hey, make sure you give this to Jack. I knew Mark Martin a little bit because his son Matt was racing some Bandoleros and Legends cars at the time. And so I was still in high school. I was running some part-time ARCA racing, and I just won my first ARCA race. And so I got invited to the Gong Show. So that was my really big break. I was getting ready to go to college. I didn't know what my racing career would be like. I was getting to a point where it was getting very, very expensive to continue pursuing my racing career. So I went and did the Gong Show in 2005, and Jack Roush and Jeff Smith and everybody, Tori Galida, they hired me to run a part-time truck series schedule in 2006.
Matt Kenseth can recall visiting the Gong Show events. At the time, Kenseth was already a Cup Series driver for the organization, and he says the events were exciting.
I went to a few of them. I went to Darlington and watched a bunch of guys, and you know, David Reagan is a perfect example of a guy who really wanted it and really, really worked hard and asked a lot of questions, and you know, he still does. He works really, really hard at it. You know, then you had other guys that wanted to be there, but you know, saying you want to be there and kind of doing what you really have to do to be there are sometimes two different things. But that whole Gong Show thing was really neat. It was a good idea. It was really fun. I remember sitting in the tower at Darlington watching a lot of those guys and listening to a lot of them and working with a lot of them, and getting to know some of them. That was really fun.
Carl Edwards was also a part of the Gong Show process, and in 2003 earned his first big break in the truck series driving for Roush.
Off of turn number four, Carl Edwards comes to the start-finish line. Carl Edwards is a first-time winner in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
I felt like it was trial by fire. Jack said, look, you're going to do this. We'll do it for a year. And if it's good, it's good. And if it's not, you know, we'll part ways. And I thought that's as great of an opportunity as a guy can get. And since then, Jack's put me in his Nationwide cars and his Cup cars. And I'm really grateful for the opportunities he's provided me. I think that they have a really good system at Roush. I think that we've got a lot of people there that can fill gaps and take over different roles if need be. I think all that stuff is great.
Roush went on to hire names like Greg Biffle.
Tonight it's going to be Ford, and it's going to be a rookie. Greg Biffle wins the Pepsi 400.
And Kyle Busch, all who had minimal experience in NASCAR. As Robin Pemberton explains, Roush just knew how to find talent.
He's developed drivers through the years. When you look at the Biffles and the Edwards and guys like that came up through the ranks, you know, he had Kyle Busch early on, and he had a good knack for getting a hold of some young talent early on, and I think that's important. I mean, those guys have a legacy on their own. Mark Martin gave him a chance, his second chance at it, and he capitalized on it. So I think Jack, in support of the whole industry with bringing on drivers, I think Jack, in support of the industry with his Roush Industries and the roof flaps, I think that's important. Early on, I mean, he was a developer of everything, whether it be mechanical or talent, driver-wise. And, you know, he was a good, solid owner. And, to pinpoint any one thing for that man would be hard to do, because he's so deep in everything else that he does. He brings so much to the table.
Roush didn't only take chances on drivers, he also hired other employees the same way. Jack hired a young Evan Lyle, now the chief executive officer for Roush Enterprises, at a young age.
I think he's got a great skill for he sees things in people and mentors and gives them the resources that they need. And it's high profile when you find a Greg Biffle or a Carl Edwards and they go from short track racing to the national stage and winning championships in NASCAR. But yeah, there's thousands of examples, more than that, of people in our businesses that he identified and saw something in them and said, you know, come on with me and we'll go on this ride together. I'm a great example of that. I mean, I didn't have a life plan that looked like this at all. And based on his faith in me and something that he saw, he gave me a confidence to do things at an age. I did stuff earlier than I should have done sometimes, and maybe earlier than I was ready for. But, he'd allow you to make some mistakes along the way and work with you to see how you get where you needed to go.
Today, Roush fields cars for Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in the Cup Series, as well as Trevor Bayne, both development drivers who came up through the team's system.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in that position, he will cross the line and win the Geico 500.
Stenhouse recalls how the relationship started.
Back in 2007, I was driving for Tony Stewart and his sprint car team up in Indiana and racing USAC. And beginning of that 2007 season, before I started running for Tony, I was driving for my dad and a group out of Bartlett, Tennessee, which is Carl Edwards RE Technologies Racing at the time. And we got their first USAC win out at Manzanita. And then after that weekend, I flew over to North Carolina, sat down with Max Jones, who was the general manager at the time at Roush Fenway Racing, sat down with him, was like, hey, what do I need to do to get an opportunity to come race over here? And he said, well, just keep winning this year, and we'll talk to you at the end of the year. I was like, oh, okay. So ended up signing with Tony, and then I think we won 10 or 11 races that year, and then at the end of 2007, we signed with Roush Fenway to race in the ARCA Series in 2008.
Believing in people is one of the many reasons why Jack Roush has had so much success. And in January, he'll be inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. But NASCAR is only part of Jack Roush's life. In fact, probably a small part. Roush has so many business ventures and hobbies. We'll discuss that further in the next episode of The Many Hats of Jack Roush. Until then, I'm Woody Kane. Have a great week.
Today's program was a presentation of the Motor Racing Network with studios in Concord, North Carolina and Daytona Beach, Florida. The Many Hats of Jack Roush was written and produced by Rich Colbreth, Tyler Burnett, Alexa Henrian, and Brian Nelson. Any use of the accounts or descriptions contained in this broadcast must be with the express written permission of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network. Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.